Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
All right, folks, I feel like I should be very excited when I say welcome to the Happy Half Hour, because Dave Canales is here, and he brings the excitement with him wherever he goes, including now to Bank of America Stadium. So I think everybody was kind of picking up what he was putting down last Thursday during that press conference. And, you know, when a new coach comes in, there's obviously all kinds of enthusiasm, but he brings an extra amount, doesn't he? So it just from being at that presser, and we'll go through all that during this episode. But, Casty, you were down in Mobile, got the chance to see him early on with Dan on that first day of work, and then slid over to Orlando for Pro Bowl. So you've got all kind of good Dave Canales anecdotes, don't you?
I have to first ask, is this excited, Darren? I don't know if I've experienced this to its full extent.
Yeah, it peaks out pretty early. I think over time, you know, my edges have been softened a little bit. It's harder and harder for me to reach peak excitement and stay that way for terribly long.
So. Yeah, I need to prepare myself better for this.
Yeah, I should have gone radio DJ voice. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Good morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I did get to spend some time with Dave Canales last week in Mobile. And he wasn't in Orlando, but yeah, I took a little tour of the Gulf of Mexico last week, but got to spend about half an hour with Dave on Monday, and that was really cool. I don't even think he had made it to Charlotte yet at that point, or if he had, it had been a fly-by-night situation.
Mm-hmm. And then he actually had not. He went straight from it. He connected in Charlotte and got on the same plane as Dan to fly to Mobile, so his experience in Charlotte at that point was limited to Charlotte Douglas International Airport.
Right. But got to spend some time with him and see, not only just, you know, interact with him, but see how so many other people sort of interacted with Dave Canales as well, and how sort of, you know, beloved he is amongst those scouts and those coaches that have been in this league for a while. Because, you know, he spent a long time in Seattle and he spent the 1 year in Tampa Bay. So he's only been with two teams, but you go to these events, you're around folks, you get to know them, and a lot of people wanted to come up. He was also the only new head coach that was in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, or at least on Monday, and so I thought that was interesting as well, you know, especially because the Panthers don't have a first-round pick, so they're looking at guys they're going to be taking in the second and third round. But I think more than anything, he just kind of wanted to hit the ground running, see this draft class up close, and get back into the groove of working with Dan Morgan. I think they shared this on Thursday in the press conference, but, you know, there's two guys that offices were a door down from each other in Seattle, and now they're going to be working right around the hall from each other again as well. So I think they're excited about that. But enjoyed getting to visit with him in Mobile and kind of just see what he's all about. He's an infectious guy, but not – sometimes when somebody is very personable, it can almost come off as fake, but I don't get that sense at all. With Dave, it's really genuine, and thought it was interesting when I did get back in the building on Monday to kind of see him bouncing around the hallway, and he remembered just about everyone's name, and if he didn't remember it, he stopped to make sure he got it, and made sure to stop and speak to everyone along the way. So that's, you know,
right.
He's trying to set a new standard, I guess, and not to say that the last staff didn't do that as well, but whenever you've got a new head coach to come in kind of guns a-blazing, that gives a jolt of energy to the building.
No doubt about it. He absolutely has that Pete Carroll vibe. I think
he
I've
does.
Used
they the, both like bounce because yeah. They're so like Tigger.
I think I've used the phrase always on, more in the last week and a half than I've used it in the previous 20 years. I mean, he's just got that energy. And, you know, again, one of the – I thought it was interesting. Somebody commented on one of the links we sent out or something, and there is a segment of the fan base that has heard a lot of this before. This is the third coach in a short period of time. And everybody's like, okay, yeah, great excitement. I love it. Show me something.
Right.
And listen, that's the bottom line on this thing. If Dave Canales can get the Carolina Panthers to score a bunch of points and win a bunch of games, all that energy and enthusiasm would be justified. And right now, based on the way the last 5-6 years have gone, I think there's reason to be skeptical of everything, no matter who it is. No matter if they would have hired Bill Belichick, it would have been he's too old. If they would have hired whoever, there was always going to be something, because I think people are a little jaded based on what's happened around here in the last few years. But, man, he has gotten a lot of people's attention. And when you do that, you know, you needed to, honestly. I mean, I think after the way last year went, energy was something that was in short supply, especially coming down the stretch. And so when you walk into a situation like this, how are you going to attack it? He's doing it up on the balls of his feet and leaning into it every day. I mean, just from talking to people he's working with, he's rolling in here at 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning.
God's not up that early.
Yeah, and he is getting started because he's got a lot of catching up to do. I mean, he's learning an entirely new set of personnel. He's hiring a staff, doing all that kind of stuff. And so I think getting those guys in place is – it's obviously a huge job, and getting to know this roster, really, before he makes some pretty important decisions on it. And he is able now that he's here, now that he's in the building, now that the media car wash has been taken care of, he's done all the radio interviews and the press conferences and all that kind of stuff, he's digging into the football and trying to learn all these people. So that is a full-time job, so it doesn't surprise me that he's attacking this thing early.
There were two things he said last week that I think stood out more than anything else, at least to me. And it was about the things he wants to kind of work on with Bryce. And one of them was getting the ball out in 2.7 seconds, getting it out much faster.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me curious because I want to know, okay, what do you do to shave off a hundredth of a second here, a tenth of a second here? What are you doing, especially behind, you know, an offensive line with a younger guy? Like, what are you doing to kind of shave off that time here and there to add up to shaving off enough that he's getting that ball out in 2.7 seconds?
Yeah.
And then the other thing he said was, you know, he'll know when Bryce is there, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he said, we're going to grow to the capacity that he can handle. There's got to be a commitment and a discipline with that. When I see that back foot planted in the ground and that ball rips out of there without any hesitation, I know we got something.
Yeah.
Though there's a lot of – you can come in and just be justified in your opening press conference to give a lot of sweeping platitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two very specific things that it's like, okay, I'm coming in right away with a plan to focus at least on these two things, and then we'll go from there.
And that was one of the things that stood out to me at the press conference on Thursday. I mean – he was very specific about 2.7 seconds and not 2.8. I used to have a buddy in college who would say, hey, we're going to the Waffle House in 13 minutes. Be like, what are you talking about? But, you know, it's easy, like you said. I mean, the easiest thing to do is say, oh, we want to be aggressive on offense and that kind of stuff. But to walk in with that kind of detailed plan, I think, speaks to the job in front of him and what he intends to do. I mean, he knows. When I had the opportunity to catch up with him on Wednesday – for the story we published Thursday morning before the presser, I mean, he was very specific about things he wanted to go through with Bryce. And that begins with getting to know him. And that's going to be an important first step to build that relationship, because, like it or not, these two are now going to be linked together.
Right.
And Dave Canales' success will be based on Bryce Young's ability to channel what he's trying to do out there. So getting those two on the same page, them getting to know each other, will be key. But again, to say not just, hey, we want to be aggressive, but to have it at 2.7 seconds shows you how granular an approach he's bringing into this job right now.
And, you know, when I was in Orlando for the Pro Bowl, I talked to a couple of guys that had played for Tampa Bay and Seattle, Tristan Wirfs and DK Metcalf, and they both mentioned the detailed part of what Dave Canales brings to the job, and said he's very, very detail-oriented. And Metcalf went on to say, you know, he's also going to do – he did what Russ did well. He did what Geno did well. He even mentioned Drew Locke.
Mm-hmm.
I think the death kill for a lot of coaches is forcing a player into their scheme instead of adjusting their scheme to their players. And so that's going to be, I think, the most important thing to watch is does this get adjusted around what Bryce Young, these receivers, this offensive line can offer and sort of elevate what they do best.
No question. And that's the thing, and I thought it was interesting seeing the stuff you were sending back from Orlando. I mean, you get a lot of that same stuff. I mean, those guys talked about the level of detail in addition to the energy. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that kind of jumps off the page and is easiest to see. But it came through in talking to those guys about just how detailed, how he comes into every interaction with a plan for it, that kind of thing, that Dave Canales was in their experience.
Right. So I know we keep going back to it, but I'm very interested just the logistics behind how he's going to shave that time off, that throwing time.
Yeah.
Because you hear a lot of people, too, just talk about, like, 3 seconds. You want to throw under three or around 2.5. But to have that specific number, I want to see how that comes about.
Well, and again, we've talked about this before on this podcast. They're basically going to be starting from scratch. Because I think everything Bryce Young did last season, you remember the experiences. And Dave talked about that. He said, you know, that experience is valuable because he said, I go back to my evaluations of Bryce from Alabama, which he was doing when he was in Tampa. But he said, I get that guy plus 16 games of having seen it in the NFL. But the specifics of the offense, everything that was happening here last year was just so fundamentally broken that I don't think you kind of keep the scars, but you throw everything else away because it's starting fresh. None of that stuff worked. The routes were never timed up with his footwork. You know, the depth was never in line with the protection. All the things, it was the most sideways offense I think I've ever seen, honestly. And there's, you know, a lot of reasons for that probably not worth dragging back up right now because there is that fresh start. And he gets to come in with his plan, start over with Bryce and a brand new staff on that side of the ball.
I like that phrase, keep the scars and get rid of everything else.
Yeah,
that was, you know, we got to talk to Peyton Manning in Orlando as well, and that was something he mentioned. You know,
I'm back here at the office last week, and I'm talking to Cass about what's coming, and she's like, oh, yeah, I talked to Peyton Manning, too. And I said, yeah, do that now.
Yeah,
right? Write that one now. Let's just go straight to, I've got the opinions of probably one of the five greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game, who, by the way, also stunk his rookie year.
Right. He won, what, 3 games through 28 interceptions?
3-13, 28 picks.
And then the next year, he went 13-3.
Yep.
So, not
so
to
clearly
say
clearly, that's what's going to happen here this season.
Time is a flat circle. History will repeat itself. But, you know, we hear more and more the past couple of years about the importance of letting a guy sit, and I think there's some credibility to that. Mm-hmm. But then there's also something that can be taken from going through it. The only way to it is through it. And
boy, did he go through it.
Right. And it's all going to, for that to work, though, it's going to depend on the attitude going into that second year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, am I going to let that first year knock me down and kind of mess with my mindset? Or am I going to take everything that went wrong and learn from it? And that's what Peyton Manning did. And, you know, he said, you know, you go back and watch what Bryce did at Alabama. He's got the capability to do it. So it's, as long as he can learn from that rookie year, mm-hmm. and to your point, kind of just flush it all away but keep the scars, that could end up being, in the long run, this is going to sound crazy to say, but in the long run, the best thing that happened to him.
Oof. You do not want it. You do not want to have to get your education that way, but you can get an education that way. It's maybe not exactly. It's kind of like my college transcript. Probably not the way you'd have drawn it up, but there was a degree at the end, I guess.
Exactly. But, C's get degrees. You told us that earlier this week.
No doubt. And I got too many of them. But C was a good day some years. At any rate.
You know what they call a doctor who got a D in medical school and a doctor who got an A?
Doctor. Yeah. That was an old John Foxism. One of these days, this is going to be my book. I'm going to write The Wit and Wisdom of John Fox. He was famous for, I used to tease him about being a phys ed major from San Diego State. And he was like, you know what they call the guy who finished last in medical school, don't you? Doctor. He was very proud of that. So It's I can do John Foxisms all day long, but why would we do that when there's a new coach and a Super Bowl and all the stuff? Oh, the other thing on your travel log, you got to visit with our guy Derek Brown down in Orlando. Since Derek is an actual pro bowler now and not just a guy who bowls. He is a pro bowler. And was there anybody in Orlando having the kind of fun he was having?
I don't think there was. He was having the time of his life. He helped them win both the NFC win the relay by doing the sled push at the end. I think he was pushing to Marcus Ware.
Yeah.
And the tug of war. I mean, he was an anchor on that thing. A lot of attention got put on Aiden Hutchinson because he was at the front of the rope.
Right.
But anybody who's ever been through second grade can tell you the importance in tug of war is the anchor.
Yeah, and you got Dexter Lawrence and Derek Brown at the back end of that rope for the NFC. It was going to be hard to move those two cats.
And they not only did they win, they won like that, both back to back.
Pretty convincingly. But it was good to see Derek be rewarded for the season he had. We talked a lot about it coming down the stretch of the season. I mean, he was the bright spot. He was the thing that was going well. So I just think from a human standpoint, it was good for him to be recognized. It was good for people to see it. And, you know, he's going to be one of the people they build around here. And when Dan Morgan talked on Thursday about the kind of people he wanted to see, he wanted to see dogs. He kept talking about dogs. Somebody asked me, would you spell this D-A-W-G or are you going D-O-G?
D-A-W-G.
See, I'm a traditionalist, I guess. I went D-O-G when I wrote these stories, and somebody asked me about it, and I looked it up, and when the godfather of funk, George Clinton, recorded Atomic Dog, on the album cover, it was D-O-G. And I was like, if George Clinton says it's dog, I'm going with dog.
I just think D-O-G, that actually reminds me, I had a dog growing up that we called him D-O-G.
Hmm. So like Italian?
When you say it slow.
Yeah.
D-O-G.
Yeah.
Anyways, D-O-G versus D-A-W-G, that's two completely different people. Like a D-O-G dog, that's somebody who, you know, can stand up for themselves. But a D-A-W-G, that's somebody who's like going to go out there and fight the fight every time. He'll bring the fight to you.
We'll continue this debate throughout the years. I think it's situational. There are time for dogs and there are time for dogs. But, you know, Dan talked about needing more of them. And specifically, you know, when I asked him who those guys are here, the two cats he mentioned immediately were Derek Brown and Frankie Louvu.
Uh-huh.
And Frankie is almost like, having been around and watched Dan play his rookie year and beyond, he always played that way. I mean, hair on fire, running around 100 miles an hour. Dan was a more analytical player. I mean, Frankie is another one of those energy guys, but Dan had that kind of Luke Kuechly type of recognition, read and react ability coupled with just burning hot and 100 miles an hour. And Frankie is that guy now. Frankie was put in a position this year without Shaq Thompson around where he was forced into more of a call the play leadership type role, but when Frankie's at his best, it's just wind him up and let him go.
Yeah.
And that's what Dan talked about needing more of. And they're going to look to add some of those guys on both sides of the ball, honestly, and they're going to need it. And we'll have opportunities to get into the offseason plans and all that kind of stuff as we go. But, you know, I just early on, when I think about what they're trying to do here and create a new start around a bunch of existing parts, and to change the tone. You know, they went 2-15 last year, and nobody wants to think too much about how that happened. But creating that kind of mindset, creating that culture is the word that gets thrown out a lot at introductory press conferences. They were very intentional about that. I mean, I went back and looked, you know, at the transcript of that press conference, and if you search the word dog, I think the only word they used more often was alignment. And they just talked about speaking off the same page, everybody kind of following the same pattern and creating something new here. That's the challenge for Dave Canales, Dan Morgan, and it's a big one. It's not going to be something that gets fixed immediately. And Dan was very careful about talking about that with me. He's like, this might take a minute because we have to do this right and be very intentional about it. But right now, at the point they are at, they have checked that box. I mean, they've kind of locked in on what they're looking for, staff they're trying to hire, all the stuff that's going on. So far, so good. There will be a lot of ground to cover in the days and weeks to come, and we will get to all that here on the Happy Half Hour. But the other thing we have to get to this week is, oh, by the way, Super Bowl. Yeah.
Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, I should probably pack some clothes or something because I have a flight in the morning. I'm heading out there for a lot of stuff going on this week. But, yeah, I should probably get ready for that. I mean, all I really know is Chiefs, 49ers, Taylor Swift are playing in the Super Bowl. I don't know how the scoring works, but – yeah, Taylor Swift will be in Vegas, and so will I at a certain point.
If you meet her, then you're my hero.
I remember being at Super Bowls, and you see certain people, and it's like when you see Beyonce walking down the hall of the media center, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm Beyonce. How about that? You know, you kind of have those moments where, oh, yeah. I don't know that we're going to have that kind of interaction with Taylor while we're there, but
She walked right behind me one time.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we will, because we will be in Las Vegas to chronicle the events to see if our very own Julius Peppers is announced as a member of the Hall of Fame on Thursday night. It'll be exciting to see if that comes to pass. And everybody will be on the edge of their seats Thursday night, probably around 10-ish, midway through the honor show, which you can enjoy for yourself and watch that moment with us. But I don't know. Maybe if she hears we're hanging out with Julius and we know Julius Peppers, that'll be enough.
Yeah, she'll definitely run over there to that. But that's going to be an exciting time for Julius Peppers, too, just to kind of see what happens and you know, well-deserved if he does get in either way. Do you take a gold jacket with you?
Yeah, I don't get a gold jacket.
Or do you take a Donny Osmond black sequin jacket?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I need to call my tailor to see if we can get something cranked out. I don't have enough sequins in my wardrobe right now. But
are you going to go see the U2 show?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds insane, but I don't really know what I'm going to do when I get to Vegas.
Yeah.
Planning is not my strong suit, as my wife will often inform me. But we're trying to investigate some tickets, maybe go see a show.
Yeah.
If Wayne Newton's playing, I'm a big Donka Shane guy, as you well know. So
ooh, go see Adele.
If we could get Wayne Newton tickets, that would be a good
day.
That'd
be cool. Have you ever seen Cirque du Soleil in Vegas?
I have not seen anything in Vegas because I've never been to Las
Vegas.
Really?
First time in Vegas.
I have been on the earth a lot of years and have never been to that fine city. But so I feel like everything's going to be brand new. I almost don't want to know a whole lot going into it just to kind of see it with fresh eyes.
But I understand that.
Yeah, you've got a perception in your mind of what you think Vegas is supposed to be. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it's all about.
Here are my three things I tell people to do in Vegas if they have time, and then I know we got to wrap up. Go see something like Cirque du Soleil or a show like that. It's really worth it. It's incredible. Go see the greenhouse in the Bellagio lobby. Everybody talks about the fountains. The fountains are incredible. Go inside to see the greenhouse.
All right.
It's really, really cool.
I'm pro plant.
If you've got a day, drive to the southwest entrance of the Grand Canyon. It's about a 2.5-3 hour drive there. And if you go to the national park entrance, it's going to take you 2 days. But if you go to the reservation entrance, you can get there in about 3 hours, and it's incredible.
It's I'm trying to figure out, with all the events we've got to hit this weekend, don't know if I'm going to get to the Grand Canyon. Those other two I feel pretty good about.
Oh, ride the roller coaster at New York. You can do that instead of going to the Grand Canyon.
There you go. Roller coasters. I feel like Canyon, you know, I would have to pack my boots and my camping gear and stuff like that. I don't know that that's necessarily happening on this trip. But all right, so you are our Swiftie in chief around here, our resident Swiftie.
I wear proudly.
Yep. Is she going to be enough? Is she going to lift the forces of her boyfriend's team to victory?
You know, Darren, I get kind of riled up about this because I think that he played perfectly well before her. He'll play perfectly well if she's not there. He does, though, play better when she is in attendance. That is statistically proven.
Oh, there you go.
What I'm most curious about is how quickly she makes it there from Tokyo the night before. But she can do it because the international dateline exists. What's really funny is this exact conversation about getting from Tokyo to the middle of America over one night happened years ago on the West Wing. And it's like, the West Wing actually already figured it out. Taylor Swift can totally do it. But I'm excited about her new album coming out. It's a birthday present to me because it's right before my birthday.
There you go. So happy birthday to you coming up in April with a brand new album. How many albums does she have?
I don't know, like 30.
A lot of albums.
I think this will be like 10 or 11.
Many, many albums. So, hey, good for her. Good for him. Young love.
Who are you taking in that game?
You know what? Here's the thing. It's hard for me. I mean, I'm like everybody else. You enjoy seeing Taylor and Travis do their thing, and that's fun. But San Francisco is where all our friends are, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, all our old friends. I've told people, you know, when your parents tell you your dog died, and and they say, it's gone to a farm in the country where it gets to run around in the grass and be happy with all
its
friends.
That's San Francisco.
That's like the 49ers right now. So whether it's Sam Darnold, Christian McCaffrey, Steve Wilks, all those people we got to know well here are enjoying themselves right now. There is plenty of football content in the world, and we're not going to dive too deeply into it. I think that the 49ers are the better team.
Right.
I think they are set up to win a game like this on both sides of the ball. And I think based on what Kansas City does, you could imagine Christian McCaffrey having a big game.
Right.
You know he's going to get the ball a lot. You know run defense is not a strength of the Kansas City Chiefs. But the thing about it is, and I kind of reached this point with Tom Brady and the Patriots at a certain point in my career, I just got tired of being the idiot who thought this was the year Tom Brady was going to fall apart.
Right.
No way he can do this again. He's getting too old. It'll never work. I just can't. I heard a little bit of Jake and Jordan as we were coming in here, and I'm a little bit like Jake. It's just really hard for me to look at Patrick Mahomes and the way he's playing now and saying, yeah, that'll never work.
Exactly. Like, it's really, really hard to count out Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, for that matter, it's hard to count out Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, what they can do this time of year. And then you look at Chris Jones on that defense. What I keep coming back to, on paper, the 49ers should win this game. But I've seen almost this exact 49ers team lose to this Kansas City team. The biggest difference is going to be, I think, you know, Christian McCaffrey can take over a game a little bit more than Raheem Mostert could. And
fair.
It's very rare to say a team is a running back away, but the 49ers were truly a running back away.
Yeah, this
and now
was,
they have that running
this
back.
This was the moment. And they are loaded up with guys on the defensive side of the ball. They've got the best back in the game in Christian McCaffrey. And again, my head tells me that the 49ers are the best team. I just don't know that they're going to win this game because, again, the way Patrick Mahomes has played, what he's done in the postseason in a short amount of time, he's one of those guys. We were talking about Hall of Fame with Julius Peppers earlier. Patrick Mahomes is going to be one of them short conversations based on what he's done already. I mean, you wouldn't say this about very many players, but even if he did nothing else after this season – Patrick Mahomes going to Hall of Fame, kids.
Right.
He's that guy. So it's going to be a fascinating week. I'm looking forward to seeing all the events in Las Vegas. Looking forward to seeing what happens Thursday night. And then when we get back, it'll be straight into combine prep, right?
Yeah.
You know, the offseason never really is off, not around this place. But we will get into it all next week, and we'll break it all down for you. And I'll tell you if I actually got onto that roller coaster or saw Wayne Newton or what we happen to do. We'll hit you next week on the Happy Half Hour.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.